My eyes are on you, and it is well with me.
Father, I thank you. I thank you for this song. And Lord, that through all the struggles and trials and tribulations that it seems like this world's going through right now, that we would focus our eyes upon you. When it seems life is getting too hard, may we look unto you. May you be our strength. May you be our source. I pray that you'd speak to us now through your word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, I forgot my watch again, so I'm going to preach fast. I got a lot of scriptures here, and I pray that this all makes sense by the time it's all done. I want to start with Isaiah 54:17, very popular verse. I think many of you heard it before. It says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." This verse has kept coming to my mind about no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And I just look at the state of our world and what all is going on. And I look at my life and I think, Lord, sometimes it seems like that all the weapons of the enemy are prospering all around me, and that I'm struggling and I'm really having to fight through all this hate and the lies and division and everything that's going on. And sometimes does it seem like that the weapons against Christians today seem to be prospering way more than God Himself and what's going on in this world? Or, I mean, to me, you flip on the news, you see what's going on in our nation, and it seems like the enemy's having a heyday with our world and everything going on. And I want to go to Psalm 73, and I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit that this will all make sense as I read on, okay? Psalm 73, verse 1, I'll try to read fast, but I felt like we really need to read this whole chapter. But it says, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." I think that's important there. It says, "to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burden common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Their pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. The evil conceits of their mind know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongue take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up water in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth." And what I thought about was this, is no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But sometimes when we look around, does it not seem like, maybe this is just for me, but it's like I'm always having to hold back and restrain myself. And I look around at people sometimes, and they just, like this verse says, they're carefree. They say what they want to say. They're hateful. They're mean. They don't care whose feelings they hurt. They just go with it. And I'm biting my tongue going, because I'm a child of God, because I represent God, I can't defend myself. I can't say anything. I can't do anything. And I look at them and I remember sometimes how I used to be before I was a Christian. And I could let somebody have it and not even feel bad about it. But now there's a restraint inside of me. And I'm not saying I want to go back to that. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that sometimes when you're looking at the other side, just like he said, my foothold, I was envying the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And sometimes we can look at others and we can go, man, God, why do I always have to hold back and they don't? Why does it seem like they're always successful and I'm not? And it seems like we're reading, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. But when we look around and it's all the evil that continues to prosper, and we as children of God seem like we're just getting pushed further and further and further down. Verse 13 says, surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. He's having thoughts here. Is everything that I'm doing in vain? You know, sometimes you look at people that you have witnessed to, people that you have talked to, people that you've discipled, people that you've shared your life with, and they reject you and they turn their back on you and they hurt you. And then you say, was all this done in vain? Was it all done in vain? I've tried to do everything right. I tried to show them God's love and they've turned their back on me. Is everything that I'm doing in vain? Boy, Pete, you're a real downer this morning. But no weapon formed against you will prosper. Verse 15, if I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. But verse 17 says, till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. What's that saying there? When I finally got on my knees, on my face, when I entered into God's presence, then all at once, all this made sense, and I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakens, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasy. What he's saying there is, you know what? It might seem like they're all prospering. It might seem like they're all doing good right now. But there's coming a day and that they're going to be wiped out. All those who do evil. All those who resist God. Verse 21, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by your right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. I think that that's key there. And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. So even though it might seem like they're prospering, even though it seems like those that do wicked and just go on and go on, that one of these days that God's going to destroy the unfaithful. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell you all of your deeds. So as I'm reading all this and I'm thinking about this, and I hope that this will come out, and if you guys stare at me with blank faces all morning, I won't even post it, okay? So I hope that this makes sense. But where I'm at is, God, if no weapon formed against me shall prosper, why does it seem like every turn in our nation lately, it's the enemy prospering with hate, with division, with you know, lies and deceit? Why does it seem like every time we turn around, it's the enemy prospering? And sometimes we're going, wow, they got life so easy. They don't care about nothing. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day that they're going to have to give an account for their life, and we're going to have to give an account for our life. And is God our refuge, or do we desire the things of this world? Is God our strength, or are we looking to other things of this world to be our strength? I want you to think too, because I keep quoting the first part of this verse, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn this, is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. See, I think sometimes people quote that verse, but they're really not a servant of the Lord. See, that's what it's saying there. Does that make sense? Yes or no? That those that are a servant of the Lord, no weapon formed against shall prosper. That those are servants of the Lord. And I was thinking about that and I thought, so let me examine myself. Am I truly a servant of God? Because sometimes maybe all these weapons are forming against us and they're prospering because many really aren't servants of the Most High. John 8:31 says, to the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Disciple, servant, if you're holding to these teachings, then you're really His disciple. Mark 9:35 says, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. So what's that say to me is that I have to put my desires, my wants, my needs aside and become a servant to all, that I must be obeying His commandments, that I must be a servant to all, that I must be last. So if I want to have victory and truly be a servant, that I need to put my eyes back on Jesus and quit looking around at what everybody else is doing and what everybody else has and their prosperity and what seems like is great for them. Because what did that say? That my foot will begin to slip. I'll be slipping when I'm looking around at everybody else and all these weapons are that's forming against me. If I'm not a true servant of Christ, then they will prosper. But when you become a true servant of Christ, those weapons will not prosper. I have to learn myself to quit looking around at what everybody else has and what everybody else is doing and keep my eyes focused on Jesus Christ. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, wait a minute. Am I really messing with y'all's head here? No weapon formed against you shall prosper, but now I'm reading, but in this world you will have trouble. Now which is it? No weapon formed against you will prosper, or in this world you will have trouble? Well, it's both. It's both. How can that be, Pete? You're really messing with us this morning. See, the thing is, as we go back to Romans chapter 8, and so, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, but in this world we're going to have trouble. See, ultimately, every day we're going to face trials in this world. Every day we're going to face crisis and things in our lives because we have an enemy right now that's trying to destroy us, that's trying to kill us, that's doing everything he can to ruin our families, to ruin our home, to ruin our testimony. But someday, just like a dream, someday all that's going to be gone and we're going to be standing before the Lord in heaven. And see, that's where we go to Romans 8, verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Is this beginning to make sense now? See, you might be facing the hardships, the famine, the nakedness, the sword, the danger. You might be facing all that stuff now, but it's not going to separate you from the love that Christ has for you. And I really, verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. I want you to think about that. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, but we're considered like sheep going to the slaughter. See, in our life we're going to have troubles. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. Like sheep going to the slaughter and facing all this. And I don't know how many of you have passed that test. I don't usually do too well, and I need to work on that, and I need to get better. That as I'm a sheep going to the slaughter, and in my work environment, and at home sometimes, and I get so angry so quick, and I want to defend, and I want to let people have it. But as a sheep going to slaughter, if I'm dying to self, And if I'm a servant to all, if I must become last, then I have to lay down my rights and I have to lay down all that. And I have to trust that God is my refuge, that God is my strength. Verse 37 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, we can take comfort in that. Even though we're facing trials, even though we're facing tribulations, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So we're going to face trials. We're going to face troubles. I want to go back to Daniel chapter 3. And I want to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because I think that there are three of the greatest examples of what life can be like in a fire, in a storm, but knowing that your confidence is in the Lord. And I almost asked Keaton and Mitzi to sing the song this morning, but I didn't. But there was another in the fire. You guys have heard that song, you know. And here's where that song is taken from for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel chapter 3, and I'm going to jump down. Nebuchadnezzar has built this 90-foot-high golden statue, and he's instructed everybody to bow down to this statue when they hear the music play. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are refusing to. In verse 15, I'm going to jump about halfway through verse 15, and it says, "But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Nebuchadnezzar was very arrogant there. And who's going to be able to rescue you from my hand? And sometimes we even face that in our world today, because people don't believe that God can really rescue us, that God can really deliver us, that God can really take care of us. And you know what? We as Christians sometimes don't even believe that. We try to make our own way. We try to do it ourselves instead of asking God for guidance. And so, verse 16, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if He does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set before us.'" So I want you to think about that. Is sometimes in life when you're facing trials and you're praying, "God, deliver me, God, deliver me, God, take me," do you ever just say, "But God, even if I'm not delivered from this circumstance, I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to let my faith be shaken." I don't remember. My mind's getting bad. But I think I told y'all a couple weeks ago, we watched that movie about Jeremy Camp called I Still Believe. Have any of y'all seen that movie yet? I recommend it. And I don't recommend a lot of movies, okay? It's a Christian movie. It's called I Still Believe. But his wife, and I hate to spoil the punchline, but she dies. His first wife dies after, like, it's sad. Better have your Kleenexes ready if you watch it, okay? And he goes through a time of whether he's going to trust in God anymore, and he's angry because his wife has died. And in the song, you guys may have heard it, "I Still Believe," was born out of that, out of his wife dying, is, "God, I still believe you. I'm still going to trust you." And y'all, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, even if God doesn't deliver us from this immediate danger, I'm still going to walk with Him. I'm not going to let it shake my faith. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitudes towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. It was so hot that it even killed the soldiers it was taking and throwing them in there. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that were tied up and thrown into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. They had to go through the fire. They were tied up, bound, thrown into the fire. But nothing can separate us from the love of God. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And y'all, sometimes in this life when it seems like the enemy just keeps getting victory after victory after victory, we have to remember that there's coming a day when he's no longer going to get those victories. There's coming a day when we're no longer going to have to put up with all this garbage and all these attacks and all this mess. And you know, the older I get, the more I'm looking forward to heaven. You know, when I was young, the thought of heaven didn't, I mean, yeah, it sounds good, but I'm not really ready to go, you know. But it seems like the older I get, the better and better it sounds. To be with Jesus, to be with His presence, and all this pain, all this hurt, all this worry, all these things going on in this world, that He'll wipe away every tear. Now, I'm about to finish up here in John chapter 12, verse 23 through 26. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." So my question to you this morning is, do you fit in the category of "this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord"? Are you a servant of God this morning? Maybe you've been going through all these battles and you just feel like, man, every time I turn around, there's something. Well, are you a servant? And is that why you're being attacked? Or is it just life? So my first question to you is, have you settled it? Are you going to follow Jesus? Are you going to be that kernel of wheat that falls and dies and says, "I no longer am going to live my life, but Jesus, I surrender my life to You. You take control now so that I might be able to produce more and more fruit. And it's really not me producing the fruit, but it's You, Lord, producing the fruit in my life. That it's producing something that I can't do on my own." And if you have surrendered, and you've offered your life to Jesus, then remember in Psalm 73:26, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." That God is my strength and my heart and my portion forever. Though my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. And someday there's coming a day when we're going to stand before the Lord. Y'all, in my life, I've been... It's a funny thing when you walk with the Lord. And you, when you first get saved, there's like really... I know there's not necessarily categories of sin. But when you first get saved, it's like the things that really, really stand out in your life, God shows you, and you repent and you turn from it. But there's something that happens the longer you walk with God, it seems, that He begins to reveal more and more in your life that you need to get rid of. More and more things in your life that you used to think that, oh, that's okay. That's not that He's showing you. Yeah, maybe it's not okay. And so I want to encourage you that maybe you've been a Christian for 80 years. Maybe you've been a Christian 8 weeks. Maybe you're not a child at all of God. I want to encourage you this morning to ask God to begin to speak to you, to reveal Himself to you, and that where you feel frustrated, where you feel like life's overwhelming, some of y'all have seen the text of the lady Tim's asked us to pray for, and it was just like one burden after another to the point that she felt like she could no longer live and tried to take her own life. And y'all, that's the enemy, and that's what he's trying to do to us. He's trying to destroy us. He's trying to defeat us. And y'all, we got to be careful to not be so focused upon the world and the things of this world, but that our focus should be on Jesus Christ and the things of heaven. And I want you to understand this morning that if you've blown it, if you've failed it, if you have been full of anger, if you've been full of resentment, if you've been glancing at the world and the prosperity of the ungodly and you saying, man, I want to go back to that life, don't right now. Today is the day that you can ask God to forgive you. Today is the day that you can ask God to give you strength so that you can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to change. No matter what, even if I'm thrown into the fire, even if I die, you know what? Praise God, I'm in heaven. And all this hurt and all this pain is gone. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Let's begin to stand on the promise that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And let's begin to look unto Jesus Christ only. If y'all would, please stand. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray that you'd bring encouragement to each and every one of us, that we would understand in this life we will have trials, we'll have trouble. But Lord, that we wouldn't be focused upon that, but we would be focused only upon you, Lord. And that we would understand that there's coming a day that all this hurt, that all this pain's going to wash away. And that we'll be in your presence for all eternity. Lord, I pray that if there's any here this morning that maybe in their heart your Holy Spirit has prompted them that they're not a true servant, that they're not really a follower, that right now that they would ask for forgiveness, that they'd ask that you'd come into their life, that you'd take over, that they'd submit to your leadership, that they'd turn away from their sins, that they'd turn away from their wickedness, Lord. And I pray for all the Christians in this room, Lord, that maybe we're feeling overwhelmed. Maybe we're feeling like that it just seems like the evil and the wicked just keep growing and getting more and more, and we just keep getting more and more oppressed. Father, may we have confidence knowing that nothing can separate us from your love, and that we would truly take our refuge in you and know that you are there to guide us, that you are there to lead us. May your Holy Spirit have its way now. Lord, you are welcomed in this place. You are welcomed in our lives. You are welcomed in our minds. Have your way now in Jesus' mighty name. In your mighty hand. I just encourage you all to seek the Lord. And if you're struggling, read Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. You know, I preached a few weeks ago on, or was it last week or was it 2 weeks ago, about controlling your mind and your thoughts and the helmet of salvation, the helmet of deliverance, and getting your thoughts right. And, you know, when we think about no weapon formed against you shall prosper, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, like, body armor that the military wear and about the Humvees and the vehicle and how they're so equipped to withstand bullets and roadside bombs and everything. But sometimes in this world, what happens, it penetrates and it gets through. But the armor that God can provide, He can protect us. He can watch over us. He can provide for us that where we can become. Wasn't it Paul that was stoned, drug out of a city, stoned, and he gets back up and goes back? What? Why would you do that? You know, to have that mentality, to love the Lord so much, just like Stephen, when he's being stoned and he looks up to heaven and he sees heaven open and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Just as Jesus hanging on the cross said, "Father, forgive them that they know not what they do," to have the armor of God and the mind of Christ so much that we know no weapon formed against us will prosper ultimately. Someday we're going to be in heaven. But to understand that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome. And we can have something that nobody can take away on the inside. We might be sheep going to the slaughter on the outside. On the inside, we're being renewed day by day. I ask that you all pray for, I don't know him. It might be where Kimberly goes, New Life. Apparently, the New Life pastor has the coronavirus, and his son has it, and his dad has it, and his dad passed away yesterday from it. And so lift that family up in your prayers, and let's just pray for deliverance from this virus in this area. God's blessed us so far, and let's pray that the weapons of the enemy will not prevail on any of us. And so, y'all have a blessed afternoon. Men, I'll see you Wednesday night at 6:30.